If you're new to Devon Community Church, I want to welcome you. I am Pastor Bert, and I'm glad you're here too. If you happen to be looking for a good community to be a part of, you're in a great place. As a community church, we want to be all about building a good and strong and healthy community. And that starts by being a good and strong and healthy community inside these walls, amen? Because we can't do outside these walls what we aren't able to do inside them. And that's why we started a new series this month about discovering community. What happens inside this building must affect who we are and what we do outside of these walls. And there's a statement that Jesus makes as recorded by his closest friend and follower named John in his eyewitness account of Jesus' life and ministry that tells us exactly what Jesus wanted his church to be like. Listen to this. I give you a new command, love each other. You must love each other as I have loved you. All people will know you're my followers if you love one another. For each other. Now this verse, to me, it's a prelude of the church to come. He was telling them what he wanted it to look like, what it needed to look like. Now the church wouldn't start until 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus on the Jewish celebration of Pentecost. But here we find Jesus meeting with his closest followers, telling them how he wants them to be known. What the reputation of this new community that he is about to create, what it must be. They will be a community of people that is known and recognized by their love for each other. All around the world, Jesus' followers, those who make up his church, are meant to love one another. It's not optional, folks. It's not an elective. It's a command from Jesus. We are to love one another. But what does that mean? When you think, it's easy to say, but what does it mean to love one another? Now, most of us use the word love in a lot of different ways, don't we? Typically to describe some positive feelings we have towards something or someone, right? I love pizza. I love coffee. I love music. I love fishing. I love my spouse. I love my family. I love my church. Good shirt today, by the way, David. But those are a lot of different things to quote-unquote love, right? Is love the same in each and every instance? Let me explain what I'm saying. Whenever I have to meet with people, I like to try to meet them at a new restaurant or a coffee shop, somewhere I haven't been yet today so I can try it out, right? So on this one particular afternoon, I went to meet somebody at a new coffee shop in the town I was living in. And I got to the cafe a little early and noticed it was a counter service restaurant. So rather than getting up and ordering something right away, I thought I'd wait till my friend showed up and to have our meeting, and then we could go get something together and I'd take care of it for him. Now, I'd only been there probably less than a minute when the person from behind the counter came over to my table and just started chatting with me and said, is there anything I can get for you? Anything you'd like to make your wait a little bit better? I said, well, I would love a coffee. He said, I'll get you one. He went back, got me a coffee and brought it to my table. And I thought, wow, I've not had that happen before in a coffee shop. So I thought that was pretty good. And finally, my friend shows up. We talk for a little bit. We go up to the counter, order something. I got a piece of banana cream pie and paid for my complimentary coffee. Coffee was excellent, but the pie, let me tell you folks, was simply amazing. I enjoyed everything about my entire experience at that coffee shop. So you could say that I loved it, right? Then, knowing when I left that place, I thought, the first person I need to take here is my son, who loves banana cream pie, right? So I took David to the same coffee shop, and I just sat back and enjoyed watching his expressions as he savored every bite, groaning in pleasure, eating this pie. And as I were leaving, I'm like, so how'd you like the pie? He said, it was amazing, because it was. And he said, that was the best pie I've ever had. Thank you so much for taking me here. I love you, Dad. I'm like, I love you too, bud. I was thrilled to share that experience that I had had with my son, right? Because I love him. But do I love him the same way I loved that restaurant? There's a difference, isn't there? So what does it mean then when we're thinking of Jesus' words? What's it mean to love the church? What does it mean to love one another? How does God want us to do that? Like I loved my experience at the coffee shop? Or does he want me to love the church like I love my son? Or is it something completely different? With the coffee shop, I realized I was experiencing something for me, right? A place offering me something. They served me, they fed me, they provided from the moment I walked in, making sure I had an experience that I would enjoy. If the experience itself was excellent, I would rate it so. Give it a good review on Yelp, TripAdvisor, whatever, right? And I'd comment and let people know how good it was. Of course, if the experience wasn't so enjoyable, I would let them know that too, right? Tell people, avoid that place. It's not good. But with my son, I was experiencing something for him, right? We have an important relationship. We are intrinsically connected. My love for him isn't based on what I'm receiving from him or experiencing, right? But it's based on who he is and what is involved in our relationship together. Because I love him, I care for him. We spend time and share moments and pie together. Now, that journey might occasionally bring about some maybe not so great experiences from time to time, right? But we work through those. I don't rate my son on Google reviews. There's not enough stars. I just love him because he's the best. So which of these are similar to how we're to love each other? Like a coffee shop or like a family? God makes it clear in his word, the Bible, that the church isn't to be another service provider. It's a community of people who are meant to have such a close relationship with God and one another that it makes us stand out from the rest of the world. The church was never meant to be like a coffee shop, like a social agency, or any other service provider, although we can definitely learn from those who provide good service like that coffee shop, right? It's meant to be based on our mutual relationship with Jesus as his family. Jesus loves us and brought us into relationship with himself. His death on the cross was the act of love for us. Now, earlier in John's account, we're told it was because God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us, that we might have real life. John 3:16, most famous statement in the Bible, God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. So Jesus came to give us a true picture of who God is and what he's like, right? And he came to fulfill God's will for every one of us to be reconciled in our relationship with him. Why? Because God so loves us. That's why Jesus wasn't born in a palace, folks, but in a stable. So nobody gets left out, right? No one's beneath his attention. No one's beneath his salvation. In Mark's account of Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus says, the Son of Man, as he liked to call himself, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus intentionally loved us, served us, ultimately by laying his life on the line to pay the ransom for our souls. Jesus is so in love with you that there is nothing he would not have done to have you with him in eternity. That's why one of the pictures the Bible gives us regarding the church is the bride of Christ. Jesus would give anything for his bride, and he did. But in being brought into the relationship with Jesus, it also brings us into a new relationship with each other, doesn't it? Being in a relationship with Jesus means we become part of his church, part of his bride, part of his kingdom, part of his forever family. However, too many churchgoers, I think, treat the church more like a restaurant than a family. If the experience isn't just quite to their liking, they'll find somewhere else to go or not go at all, right? And this is beyond unfortunate, I think, and because it sets up expectations for the church that it was never intended to fulfill. Also, and we have to be honest here, this consumer attitude doesn't focus on relationships. It's focused on me, on self, right? This isn't loving as Jesus loved. It's really loving what I want, what I'm comfortable with, or what's going to benefit me. The church is not supposed to be like that. It's not the example we're told to follow by the early church starter and leader named Paul, who wrote the following instructions to the brand new church in Philippi, Greece. Listen to what he says. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So in this, Jesus really gives us the ultimate example of love in action, doesn't he? When Jesus gave us the command to love one another, the word he used in the Greek language is agapao. Okay, Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words defines it like this. It says, this kind of love, this agapao love, can only be known from the action it prompts. It has to be accompanied with action. God's love, it says, is seen in the gift of his son. This is not the love of complacency or affection. That is, it was not drawn out by any excellence in its objects. We had nothing to offer. It was an exercise of the divine will in deliberate choice, made without assignable case, save that which lies in the nature of God himself. What's that all mean? Well, it means that God's loving nature caused him to deliberately choose to take action. to rescue and save the people he loves, even though we had done nothing to deserve it. What this tells me is that we will experience a love for God's church when we intentionally choose to love one another, warts and all. You will develop a deeper sense of love for your church community when your love for God really causes you to actively and intentionally practice love for others. But the opposite's also true then, isn't it? If you don't intentionally choose to love one another, then you will not experience God's love for his church. We can only truly love one another when we see the church as being about family, not when we treat it like a restaurant. So how can we grow in our love for one another as a church community? What's it look like to intentionally choose to love like Jesus loved? Well, I'm going to give you three things this morning that help you love one another, hopefully a little bit better, as Jesus demonstrated really from his life in these some of the passages we've looked at already. And the first thing is that we need to love by connecting. Love by connecting. In the passage from Paul's letter we looked at in Philippi, it says this: Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So here Paul's actually identifying that Jesus was, is, and evermore shall be God. Not a God, not created by God, but in his very nature, he says he was God, right? And that nature moved him to leave his glorious position in heaven and come to earth as a man so that he could connect with us on our level. Community is about connecting with one another on our level. Without connecting with one another, there is no community, folks. Going back to my relationship with my son, David. If on the day he was born, I decided to take a walk and never come back, we would have no relationship, right? There would be no love because we wouldn't even know each other. There needs to be connection. You can't love someone you have no connection with. Because love needs an outlet, right? It has to be expressed somehow. Being in community and relationship with each other is more than just knowing people's names or where they sit on Sunday morning. We show love for one another when we come together, working together, playing together, teaching and encouraging one another in life and godliness. Growing together in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Being connected with one another is ensuring that no one stands alone and no one gets left behind. Love it. It's just like Lilo and Stitch, right? Ohana means family, and family means no one gets left behind. When we grow in our love for one another through connecting, we'll experience the reality of Ohana in the church. In the letter written to the early Hebrew church, it instructs us this way. It says, in response to all that he, being Jesus, has done for us, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other and in doing good. Let us not neglect our church meetings, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. If we want to grow in becoming a great community, then we need to intentionally choose to connect with each other.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. Second thing Jesus shows us about community is that we show love by serving. Again, we read in Paul's letter to the Philippian church, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. He made himself nothing by what? Taking the very nature of a servant. So in our relationships with one another, we are to love like Jesus did, right? By serving each other. Earlier, we looked at Jesus making this statement. He said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many, right? Jesus set the example for us to follow. Not an example of directing and dominating, but of service and sacrifice. Jesus came to serve both God's glorious purpose and our greatest need. God's purpose was to reconcile people to himself, but our rebellion against God had put a roadblock between us and him that the Bible calls sin. Now, if you're new to all this, you can balk at that idea of sin, right? Because we usually see it as the worst of the worst. That person's a sinner, right? Or whatever. That's not what the word's referring to. And I know I've mentioned this before if you've been here for a while, but for anybody that's new, the original meaning of the word sin is simply to miss the mark. To miss the mark. When we consider how the different writers use that word in the Bible, it simply means choosing what we want rather than choosing God's best. And in that way, there's the same meaning, because when we choose to do what we want to do, we miss the mark of what God says is the very best thing for us. And the best thing he wants for us, pardon me, is to live abundant lives of purpose forever with him. But as I said, sin blocked that, blocks the way to that, and detours us down a different road, doesn't it? Paul described it like this to the churches in Rome. He said, the wages of sin going down that path is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So God's gift is life, whereas sin's wages is death. God originally created people to live forever with him. But because of sin, we now die, both physically and spiritually. But God had a plan to pay off sin's wages once and for all, so people again would be able to live with him forever. God himself would come in the person of Jesus and represent all of mankind by becoming fully human and living a perfectly holy life, meaning completely sinless, and willingly die in our place to pay for all of our sin, the wages that we owe. He paid once and for all time. Service and sacrifice was God's perfect plan to save imperfect people. And service and sacrifice is still his plan for his church, to continue to reflect his heart of love for everyone. That's why we need to love by serving. And thank you again for all those who have been serving around here. We appreciate it so much, but you don't do it for us. Yeah, we benefit from it, but you do it for the Lord. Last thing we're going to look at today is that we show love by giving. Again, Jesus expresses this in the text we've been looking at. I don't just keep throwing this in, folks. It's there. Love by giving. The Son of God came not to be served, but to serve others and to what? Give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus gave his life for us. That's because giving is an indicator of love. Remember, love can only be shown from the actions it prompts. God's love was demonstrated by the gift of his son. In the most famous verse, again, we looked at already, God loved the people of this world so much that he gave. Perfect timing. Service isn't over. The cathedral bells can wait a bit. God so loved that he gave Jesus. God so loved that he gave Jesus. Jesus so loved that he gave his life. You cannot separate the two. Jesus is God, and God is love. Through his sacrifice, Jesus showed us that true love is never selfish. It's giving. And maybe this is why so many people have a hard time with giving to a church. Because they've never intentionally chosen to love her like Jesus loves her. And this makes me wonder if they truly love Jesus like they think they do. Because their love for Jesus should be evident in the way they love his church. Right? And this takes us right back to where we started with. All people will know that you're my followers if you love each other. Jesus is saying, if you love me, it's got to show. It's going to show, folks, because you love each other. It will show that you love me. How did Jesus, again, show his love? God so loved that he gave. If we love Jesus and want to be like Jesus, then shouldn't we be giving people, generous people too? If we want a heart for the church like Jesus has, then we need to start giving of our time, our talents, and yes, even our tunies. Because Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, that's right. That's where your heart and thoughts are going to be. Where your treasure is. Where do you want your heart to be? God's heart is for you. That's why he gave you his greatest treasure. If our heart is for him, then we will want to reciprocate his love, amen? And give him what's most dear to us, really our very lives, right? Everything. So if you've never done that, given your life to Jesus, that's really where you need to start this whole process. All the rest works into that, but it's got to start here. All through this talk, we've seen that God loves you so much that he gave you, Jesus, to take for your sin by suffering and dying for you. And what he asks for in return is that you simply give him the rest of your life. He'll take care of your past if you give him your future. He removes your sin when you receive his salvation, believing that he is God and asking him to lead your life from now on. And if you're ready to do that today and you want to take that step, then I want to invite you to pray along with me in just a minute. But before we do that, if I just ask if everyone please bow their heads at this time, close your eyes. I appreciate that. Thank you. I don't want to hinder anybody from taking this step if they really want to take it. So if you've been listening today and would like to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, become the leader of your life, and you want to take that step today, could you just let me know who I'm praying for today by just quickly raising your hand to let me know? Thank you. Just pray along with me. Dear God, I admit that I haven't been living for you, Lord. I've been doing things my own way, not even really giving you much thought in my life, and I am sorry for that. I now know that you only want the very best for me. So please forgive me and make me right with you today. I believe that Jesus did come to earth to die for me and restore my relationship with you. So I ask him to be the leader of my life from this moment on. Thank you. Thank you for saving me, and thank you for making me a part of your forever family and your church today. I ask that you'd please help me to grow in my relationship with you and with my new church family. Please help me to grow in love by connecting with the other folks and by serving those in need and giving what I can of myself to others. And I pray all of this, Lord, and thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the musicians come back, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, could you please let me know by just filling in one of those connect cards that are in the seat back or on our church app. If you've got that loaded on your phone or online, it's connected to the video there, the stream, so you could do it that way. Because we'd love to share some resources and just connect with you and find out how we can help you as you start your new life with Jesus. So I'm going to turn it back to Cole, and thanks so much for joining us, folks. And I hope to see you next week.